You're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
Our name is Peter and Charlene Constant, and we come from Opaskwayak Cree Nation. Can you all say Opaskwayak? Oh, very good, yeah. And Opaskwayak means... Actually, I don't know what it means. On a hill, that's what it means. Okay, I had to be told that because at first I thought it meant where the rivers meet, because the North and Saskatchewan rivers meet at Opaskwayak, but apparently that's not what it means. Okay, yeah. So the big word that we want to share with you is not only God's word, but transition. There's a huge transition happening in our lives right now as we serve the Lord and faithfully follow him and seek his will. And one of the things that have changed is that we were part-time missionaries with NCM, which is Northern Canada Evangelical Mission, but now we've transitioned to full-time missionaries. And part of the responsibilities that we have is that we are now executive members within the headquarters located at Prince Albert of NCEM. And I work specifically with public relations and also recruiting. That's right. And also, I'll be talking about this a little bit later, but there's something called KDC, and it's called Keewatin Discipleship Center. I'm not sure if many of you are familiar with the First Nations school 10 years ago that closed down. That was called Keewatin Bible Institute, located in Lac La Biche, Alberta. But that had closed down because of lack of staff and students, and they felt at that time they needed to close the school. But for me, the Lord laid it upon my heart that someday another First Nations Bible school would open. And because I am now part of the executive, I'm going to make this happen because the Lord has laid upon my heart to do so. So I praise him for that. But also, just to step back a couple of steps there, Charlene does have roles with NCM as well.
So in our transition period, we're still figuring things out, but right now we're at headquarters 3 days a week and still trying to be home for at least some weekends in our church where Peter can serve there, or both of us. But also, so right now at the headquarters in our 3 days a week, I am enjoying my distinguished title of Jill of All Trades. Basically, I'm learning everything that I can learn, and so I can help anybody when they need it. One of the more specific things I'm learning is to manage the online bookstore, which I will be taking over in November, I think. I just learned that. So we'll see how that goes, but I spent one day there and really enjoyed learning that role.
Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned before, Keewatin Discipleship Center, we continue to move forward with the planning and development of it. We are have already been working on the programs and curriculum, things like that. We're looking for, currently looking for staff as well. If there's something that you've feel that God has laid upon your heart to be part of, then you can come and talk to me. Also, she mentioned that we are serving at Riverside Bible Church. This is located near Opaskwayak Cree Nation, but it's actually located right on the Métis settlement, 2 miles off the Opaskwayak Cree Nation. And because of our transition, I used to share half duties, I guess, with the senior pastor couple. And I would do 2 Bible studies a month and preach twice a month. But that has switched from just me preaching twice a month because of our work at NCM. Usually I will not be at the church on a Wednesday. But they did have another senior member of the church who will be helping out in that area. So we praise God for that. And also, Charlene, we are assisted pastor couple there. So alongside with me preaching, and working with Dennis and Amanda Anderson, who are the senior pastor couple, you know, Charlene also gets to share Sunday school lessons at the same time when I am preaching. So we are grateful to God that we can continue serving with our home church. And there might be a question in there as to, you know, well, it sounds like you're not going to stay there very long, because if you're going to have a Kuwaitan Discipleship Center, are you going to move? That's a good question. And yeah, we probably will. When? I don't know yet.
Okay. So Logan and Alicia were part of our first missions team we took through Miller College of the Bible. And in that, as part of that team, we went to the youth center near our house to share like a Sunday school with them. That was the first time we had ever been there. And after that team left, we were just there for that one day, but they invited us to come back as a church. And so we've been going there for 6 years, I guess. Been going to the Big Eddy Youth Center. And that's been a huge blessing. So it was closed for 3 years over COVID and just reopened this year. And also Kim is here, was on our team last year. Anyways, so the youth center, we really enjoy it. The kids enjoy it too. And since it was closed for 3 years over COVID, this January when we were invited back, we wondered, like, are we going to have to start over? Like, when we first went there, like, it was chaos. Like, nobody wanted to listen. Everybody's running around. And I thought we'd be starting that way again this year when we went back. But the kids are, like, the best kids I've ever seen there. They are just listening with all their hearts. And they're sitting there already in their chairs ready when we get there. They're really into it. So really glad for that. We've been on pause now for the last couple of months just because of things in our life. But it is still an ongoing ministry, and we look forward to going back soon.
One of the other ministries that I had to let go of was I was a chaplain at the McGillivray Care Home, where I shared with the seniors in that care home. But because I'm not a chaplain anymore, I do still get to go back every other Sunday and do a Sunday service with them. So I'm grateful that that door is still open for ministry in that regard.
The Neighborhood Kids Ministry, Logan shared about that, and that was something that God just did. So it was at a time about 5 years ago probably where I was leading a youth group before, and that fell apart. The kids left, and I was hurt and wondering what I did wrong and what did God have for me next. And I just asked God, like, what do you want me to do here? And this little boy came in our yard, and I started visiting with him, and we started playing soccer, and I started sharing Bible stories with him, and he invited his sister, and they invited their cousins, and their cousins invited their friends, who invited their cousins. And there's a lot of kids we've met and who come to our house. Now we're gone a lot, so we see less of the kids, but the one day we were in the PAW last month for like half an hour, we went home to get some stuff, and the kids were there. And I'm like, okay, I don't have time, but I have to have time. And I'm still thankful that they want to learn.
And the other slide, it just shows the verse, "Abide in my word." We were able to teach those kids beforehand Bible verses, because we knew that Bible verse is going to be shared at Steep Rock Bay Bible Camp. So we gave these kids a heads up so they could win prizes at camp.
And all year round, the verse they learn at Steep Rock Bay Bible Camp, they keep telling it to me. Can I tell you this verse? Yes, you can.
We have other ministries as well. One of the yearly ministries that we do is we take out a First Nations ministry team from Miller College of the Bible. And as was shared before, Logan and Alicia were part of that. Kimberly, Devin back there. Hi, Devin. And so far, you know, we've seen the Lord work in these ministry teams. When we were starting off, we didn't know if how God was going to use this. But as you can see, Logan and Alicia are serving in First Nations ministry and also part of NCM. So we praise God for that. And also Devin had served at Steep Rock Bay Bible Camp this summer as well. So, you know, we are grateful for how the Lord is using this team. There are others as well that have been getting involved in First Nations ministry. And again, we praise God for that, and we see him using this team every year. One of the places that we go is called NYC, not New York City. It's called Native Youth Conference, and it's located a half an hour north of Edmonton. And what they usually get, the attendance, is anywhere from 175 First Nations youth to 250 First Nations youth. And we plan to go there every year, because now this is my sixth or seventh year going. And they're used to me bringing a group of people to volunteer. And as a matter of fact, now they expect me to share chapels every morning now. So that's something new for me, but I know what to expect. So I always make sure that I'm ready to share something with the youth. Yeah, we see many youth come to the Lord at these events. So we purposely try to make an effort to connect with them throughout the year. If it's not us, and then hopefully it's the churches that brought those youth in, and that, they still connect with those youth. Also, I teach a First Nations ministry module, and right now I've been teaching it to new NCM missionaries. And what I focus on is there's Native, traditional, and spiritual worship practices that I find concerning when people bring them into certain churches. I teach from what a powwow is, for example, the origin, and why is it important to First Nations culture, and even smudging or other spiritual practices like that. Then I tell the First Nations people, those that are interested in hearing, of course, but also the new NCM missionaries, this is what you need to be careful of, and this is what this actually means. The reason why I do that is because my grandpa was a shaman, which is a medicine man, so I'm very, very familiar as to what these practices are and what they mean. And that would be my warning for all of you as well. Know exactly what those worship practices are. Also, we are currently studying now, and in the graduate program of Miller College, we're going for our master's degree. We only have 3 classes left, so praise the Lord for that. But we still have a 75-page thesis paper we have to write on. So, pray.
So many of you know of the difficult time that we're going through right now as a family, with my sister losing her husband and the kids, their daddy, and also my brother's son, who was diagnosed with stage 3 kidney cancer recently, and they're at HSE. We'll be living there for the next year approximately. So we do appreciate your prayers. Elliot is our nephew. He's 3 and just started chemo treatments last week. So I just got a text from our sister-in-law this morning that he's been put in isolation. He's got a cough, so we're praying that that doesn't develop into anything serious. And also, one thing that I'm praying about right now is, just because they're not allowed to really go home, because they live too far away from Winnipeg, they have to be within 1 hour of the city, in case anything happens to Elliot. So I'm praying for a home that maybe somebody needs a house sitter for, or an apartment, somewhere they could spend time as a family in between treatments. I don't know if that's a thing, but that's what I'm asking God for, because it's hard to live in the Ronald McDonald House is a real blessing for them right now, somewhere really cheap and close to the hospital. But that's going to be hard, especially as time goes on, and they need to have family time and space too. It's really important for them and for their older son Miles as well. So yeah, thank you all for continuing to pray for all of our family, for Janice and the kids, and for us and my brother Carl and his family, and for little Elliot, that the chemo treatments will be effective and that his health would be restored.
So in saying all that, we are asking for support prayerfully and financially, because we're, as I mentioned before, we're no longer going to be part-time missionaries. We're moving to full-time missionary work, which means we made a lot of sacrifices to see that happens. Like Charlene is an LPN, and she just recently resigned from her job. So that part of income is gone. Also for my chaplaincy as well. So we appreciate your financial support as a church, or even if the Lord has laid upon you to, as an individual, to support us. We do have prayer cards in the front with all our information on there. And if the Lord has laid upon you to give and to support us during our ministry, we would greatly appreciate that. And, we just thank you for your prayers. We know that there, a lot of prayers have been going out already for us and the family in regards to this this time in our lives. And yes, it is very difficult for us to come here during this time as well. You know, it's with us dealing with everything else, it just seems so busy. But we rely on the Lord's strength, and we carry forward knowing that he's leading and guiding us and that he is with us. So praise his holy name.
I just wanted to share a couple of verses that have been very meaningful to me lately, and from Psalm 147. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. And for us as a family, that's how we're feeling, brokenhearted, and our understanding feels very small. There's many things we don't understand, but great is our Lord and mighty in power, and his understanding has no limit. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So we're thankful for God's presence and just how God is bringing us closer to himself and also closer together as a family. He is near. For anybody who'd like to get our updates, our prayer letters, I don't have any with us today, but just let me know and I can email you, or if you prefer snail mail, we can do that too. Just let me know. I'll write down your information after if you want.
Okay, thank you. I was glad to see you still had Give Thanks banner in the front and some pumpkins, because the sermon I was going to share this morning is called The Sacrifice of Thanksgiving. One of the reasons why I chose this topic was because I had never noticed that sacrifice of Thanksgiving before. I don't know about you, but whenever I get to the book of Leviticus, I'm kind of intimidated to read it, because there's so much in-depth things that you have to take into consideration, and how does that play out throughout the Word of God. Well, we're going to look at Leviticus chapter 7, and I'm going to read verses 12 to 15. And here we're going to hear about the sacrifice of Thanksgiving, but also we're going to notice how that's connected to the peace offering. So I'll read this portion. I'm reading in ESV. It said, if he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the thanksgiving sacrifice unleavened loaves mixed with oil, unleavened wafers smeared with oil, and loaves of fine flour well mixed with oil. With the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving, he shall bring his offering with loaves of unleavened bread, and from it he shall offer one loaf from each offering as a gift to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who throws the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. So the question we may ask, why did they offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and what did it signify? Before we continue on, I just wanted to pray and ask the Lord to grant us understanding of his word this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and thank you, Lord, again, that you are with us, nearest and close to us, and you are happy with your children that want to read of your word and to teach us by the power of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we pray that you grant us understanding of your word, prepare our minds and hearts, and give us ears to listen and hearts to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. So what we need to notice here is that as we examine the sacrifice of thanksgiving, using these verses to explain the meaning of this sacrifice, what we notice is there's unleavened bread, and leavened bread were to be offered. So along with the thank offering were to be presented various kinds of unleavened bread and leavened cakes, one of which was the Lord's portion and was given to the officiating priest, as it says in verse 14. So the priest had to sacrifice an animal here, and the worshiper was not permitted to leave any of the meat from the sacrificial animal for another day, but was required to eat it at the same time it was offered, as it says in verse 15. So what we see is, like in later Judaism, the thanksgiving offering was valued as the higher type of sacrifice. But here, it is only one category of offering meant to promote the well-being of the worshiper. The thanksgiving gift represented the donor's acknowledgement of God's mercies to him. So while this offering was, it was the outward recognition of the fulfillment of a vow, okay? So the underlying motivation here was of the peace offerings that it was of appreciation and gratitude, which was not, this is not always noticeable in Christian living today. You know, as his children, I think there's three points we need to take notice of here. So one is that the believer is instructed to make his requests known to God with thanksgiving. And we read of this in Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." Number two, we are to be watchful in prayer with thanksgiving. Colossians 4, verse 2. "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." And number three, and to give thanks for everything to God. Ephesians 5, verse 20. "Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So just as the sacrifice of an animal was seen by God, by contrast, the Christian is commanded to love not just in word and speech, but in deed and truth. We read of this in 1 John 3:18. "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth." So our outward living in word and deed shows our gratitude to God for his many blessings. So, with the meaning of the sacrifice of thanksgiving in mind, let us look at other portions of Scripture where the authors of Psalms spoke of the sacrifice of thanksgiving and why they encouraged the reader to be thankful. Let's look at Psalm 50, verse 14. Here it says, "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High." So what we need to notice here is the sacrifice of praise. Within this verse, the people must endure that the rituals they perform reflects a living faith. Since the people had completely missed the point of their worship ritual, the Lord now instructs them how, you know, to change their thinking. He does this by calling for a sacrifice that will, you know, make them get it right. And the sacrifice of praise, or often rendered thanksgiving, is a public acknowledgement or praise accompanied by a peace offering. And this was an act of worship in the sanctuary that expressed publicly what God had done for them. So we mentioned the peace offering. So when people received a blessing or an answer to prayer from God, they were to go to the sanctuary with a sacrifice to be offered as a peace offering. And this is celebrating the fact that they were at peace with God. While the animal was on the altar, they were to stand there and declare what God had done for them. Then they would all eat the sacrifice at a communal feast. If this was done correctly, the meaning would be clear to all, Like they were making a sacrifice to acknowledge that they had needed God, and now they were praising him that he had met that need. Psalm 50, verse 23. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. So here, God calls for genuine praise and obedience to correct this hypocrisy that was happening at this time. God charges these worshipers with hypocrisy, so he has to deal with this. So the psalmist now turns to the other major problem in their worship. If the worship was an empty form, it would easily lead to sin and therefore be hypocritical. But if the worship was the expression of a living faith, obedience would follow. Here, the emphasis, loving God only. You ever notice the first three commandments and the Ten Commandments point to loving God only. And Jesus expressed this truth in Matthew 22, verse 37. He said, and he said to me, him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So the warning given to the hypocrite and to those who simply go through the motions in their worship is very stern. God is really trying to emphasize a point. It is addressed to those who forget God. Now, in saying that, it's not like their head goes blank and they forgot that God was there altogether. No, not that. To forget God does not mean that they actually forgot him, but it means that they did not act on what they knew, or they did not give God his proper due and allegiance. So, in verse 23, God's instructions are, he affirms that those who offer the sacrifice of praise glorify God. He wants them to do this. Not only is sound biblical praise the remedy for empty formalism, it is the remedy for hypocrisy. If people were praising God properly, it would mean they were trusting him and enjoying his benefits and expressing their submission to him. So when people are involved in sin, there is usually no prayer or praise. Number two, God instructs them to set their lives aright to see his salvation. So perhaps here is the sense of deliverance in the day of trouble as well as the final day of judgment. But this line can be sometimes difficult to hear what it's saying, but the verse conveys the idea that there is a life that is in line with the way of salvation. For this is the opposite of the disobedient life that will be torn to pieces. So God exhorts the hypocrites to change by developing a life of obedience and prayer. Also, too, in Psalm 50, it emphasizes the idea that only genuine praise from a life of trust and obedience will prevent worship from becoming formalistic or hypocritical. So offering a sacrifice of praise was the measure of a living faith. Without it, worship would become hollow, and people would see that, people would hear that in the living of the saint. But what's interesting too is the psalm is not only limited to the Old Testament. We read in Hebrews 13 verses 15 to 16, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So here in this verse, the Hebrew Christians are instructed to offer the sacrifice of praise. We can do this through Christ who dwells within the true servant of Christ. We do not sacrifice bulls and rams again, but offering ourselves as a pleasing aroma to God through devotion and service to him. We abandon our lives for the sake of the gospel, shining in Christ's likeness in word and deed, as it says in Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Also, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Because I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It's interesting, in John 4, 23 to 24, Jesus says here, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." So if we apply Jesus' category to the message of Psalm 50, we may say that we are not to worship in an empty form, but in spirit, and we are not to worship as hypocrites, but in truth. So the message is clear. Worship in spirit and in truth correctly. Not the way we want, but how God wants. So when we are filled with his word, we will be guided by his word. People will see we follow him by what we say and what we do. So how do we do what he does? Well, by being transformed by his word, and therefore live out our lives in obedience to him, because we know what he says through his word. To be filled with his word is to be filled with his spirit. Therefore, we worship him in spirit and in truth. So, in conclusion, what is the sacrifice of thanksgiving or praise, and why was it required? Well, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, or the thank offering, falls into the category of peace offerings, and it was offered for wondrous occasions of salvation from distress, death, sickness. Plus, it is in response to the Lord's goodness to them. Thanksgiving was central to worship in the Old Testament, just as it is in the New Testament church. As the children of Israel offered up sacrifices of thanksgiving to the Lord, so believers today give thanks always and for everything to God, as was read in Ephesians 5, verse 20. So if we are truly grateful to God for his loving kindness and mercy in our lives, we will offer sacrifices of thanksgiving naturally. We will recognize that everything we have is a gift from him, James 1:17. Through even the most troubling and challenging times, we can offer sacrifices of thanksgiving by giving our bodies to God because of all he has done for us and for letting our lives be a living and holy sacrifice. Did you ever notice in all of Paul's letters, he always mentions grace and peace from God? From the Jewish standpoint, they would know what that means. They would go back to Leviticus 7, and that plays in to why Paul says that. So, you know, ultimately, what we really must be thankful for is that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. And those who believe in the name of the Lord, and those who ask for forgiveness of their sins and ask Jesus into their hearts, will be saved, and that relationship begins. I heard it mentioned here before that, you know, there are people that come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they get baptized, but then after that, there's no fruit, there's no evidence of change. Well, that's the part we're missing. And this is why it's so important that we must disciple others, that they may continue on into that relationship, that they may call the Lord our God their Father and have that relationship with him as their Father, speaking to him, coming to him, asking him things. This is a relationship. And that's the relationship that is so important, because he reconciled us to himself through his son, Jesus Christ. We should be thankful and grateful for what Jesus has done for us. We are reconciled to the Father. We are in the family of God. I look at all of you, and my heart is warmed just knowing that you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, you look at me, Yeah, I'm a First Nations person, but I'm also a believer in Christ, and we're all family. So thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice and great love. We are thankful. And Lord, may you be glorified as you accomplish your plans and purposes in through us because of your great love for us and how you have saved us. Amen. Thank you.